Hi, this is Jake, producer for The Drew Mariani Show. I'm excited to share an opportunity for our listeners to try one free month of streaming on PureFlix. PureFlix is a Hollywood movie studio that produces awesome Christ-centered movies.
Like God's Not Dead and Do You Believe?
Now, PureFlix offers a video on-demand streaming service with a library of movies the whole family can watch. Try your first month free today and make sure they know we sent you by visiting relevantradio.com/flix.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hillary Clinton responded to President Trump's tweet Tuesday suggesting his 2016 Democratic rival should enter the 2020 White House race. Clinton wrote in a tweet, quote, "Don't tempt me, do your job." The former Secretary of State, who has run for president twice before, has weighed in on Trump recently while on a tour to promote her new book.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome, huh? That news from the Hill, will it play out? Will Hillary Clinton jump back into the race? She's never really let go, has she? I mean, she really believes that she should have been president. And many would argue, wait a minute, she won the popular vote based on Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and the candidates that are now front runners for the Democratic Party. Would Hillary Clinton bring the Democrats to victory? Let's talk about that. You know, the president has been kind of taunting her a little bit to get into the race. You know, he's been kind of saying, come on, it'll be fun. In fact, Jake, let's play some of that audio. Let me throw to that now. I want to share with you a little bit of what I heard the other day on Tucker Carlson's show. He played audio of something Hillary Clinton recently said. She basically asserted that she should be the one who is president. Listen.
In the 2016 election, Trump basically said, Russia, if you're listening, you will be richly rewarded if you can find Hillary Clinton's emails. And of course, we know the Russians hacked the DNC, hacked my campaign, etc. Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
That's interesting, huh? He's illegitimate. I don't think so. I mean, he won the Electoral College. I'm not playing partisan politics here, but we have become so divided in our country. We really have, especially along party lines. You know, in the midst of this impeachment inquiry that is now going on, the president doesn't seem too fazed by it. And I don't know how you would react if you were in his shoes. Would you be able to have the same type of thick skin he did? Listen to this.
Well, first of all, the impeachment inquiry is a scam. The conversation that I had with the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, was a very good it was a very cordial, very good conversation. The mistake they made, the opponents, the opposition, the Democrats, the radical left, deep state, whatever you want to call them, they came out with a whistleblower report before they saw the conversation. Had they waited one day, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have made a fool out of herself, and she would have been able to say what I said, because when she saw it, she said, this is not what the whistleblower said. I'll tell you what, they should really be looked at very strongly, because what they did is unthinkable. What they did to this country is unthinkable. And it's lucky that I'm the president, because I guess, I don't know what, a lot of people said very few people could handle it. I sort of thrive on it. You know why? Because it's so important that we get to the bottom. We went through the whole Mueller scam, 2.5 years. We went through that, and I had 3-4 days where it was like over. And then I'm walking into the United Nations, and they released it as I'm walking in. Mr. Ambassador, I'm walking in. I'm going to meet with, I won't name, but one of the top leaders of the world. And I see up on the screen and people start screaming about this scam called impeachment. You can't impeach a president for doing a great job.
So here's the question. All right, we can talk impeachment. Let's talk Hillary Clinton, too. Will the attack on the president, the call for his impeachment, and attitudes are beginning to change. There's more people saying, hey, yeah, he should be impeached. Does it give Hillary Clinton, you know, more fodder? Is she on the sidelines maybe thinking about this? I mean, just think back to what happened, you know, and, you know, I'm not a political historian. I will be joined by Dr. Paul Kengor here in a moment. We'll get his take. But I don't think this country has seen such a crazy political scene as we see now. Talk of impeachment, talk of candidates who ran wanting to get back in. A billionaire who ran as a fighter for the little guy, right? That's Trump running for the little guy. He wins the Electoral College against a woman whose husband had been impeached for alleged sexual impropriety while in office. She kind of felt that the election was due her and that it was a coronation, walked into Election Day thinking that she was going to be Madam President. And that was not the way it went down. Even before the billionaire takes office, the opposition party is already calling for his impeachment. And they spent 3 years looking for every reason to do that. Now we are seeing that, you know, underway. You know, finally, they land on a phone call made to a foreign leader where the president asked for help in looking into possible corrupt action by a political opponent's son. We're talking about Beau Biden, Joe Biden's son. And they asked that of a foreign leader, you know, of another country. That phone call is allegedly, and we'll get Dr. Kengor's take on this, a high crime or misdemeanor. I don't know if it falls into that category, but what the president is publicly expressing is his frustration with it. You know, this whole idea of an impeachment process, and he says that he thinks his crooked opponent from the last race should enter the next election. That's what he's saying. And her response, you know what Hillary said? Don't tempt me. Do your job. Don't tempt me. And then she goes on television, you know, and she says, you know, obviously I can beat him again. Would you vote for Hillary? Would you give her a second chance? Have you grown disenchanted with President Trump? I don't know about you. I, again, go back to my earlier point. This is a crazy political situation. You know, the last election was crazy. But where we are right now, to me, it's insane. The Trump administration is not allowing its members to testify before the House, and the House says that they're going to keep coming up with evidence of more wrongdoing on the part of the president, and on it goes. So where will it end? That's the big question. We're closing in. 2020, November, we'll be here before you know it. Here for some perspective is Dr. Paul Kengor. He's a professor of political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania and a brilliant author. He's also the executive director of the Center for Vision and Values. Doctor, welcome back.
Hey, Drew. Yeah, crazy time, eh?
You know, you've got Trump, you know, teasing or tempting Hillary, Hillary wanting to come back. You got an impeachment process underway. What did Hillary mean by beating Trump again? I know she won the popular vote. I'm assuming that's just what she's referring to. Do you think that she has any inclination of coming back in? And do you think the Democratic Party would support her?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that had her suddenly talking smack like this.
Great word for it.
And I wonder here, Drew. I don't think this is a coincidence. If the Democrats open up this impeachment process against Donald Trump, I got news for you. Joe Biden is going to be a casualty of this. This is going to take down Joe Biden. So they may be able to get Trump. They might be able to technically impeach him. I don't think they'll remove him from office. They might be able to get enough votes for an impeachment vote, enough votes in Congress. But Biden is going to be exposed in this. And you're already seeing in the polls that Elizabeth Warren is now in probably out of the three main polls that are watched by Real Clear Politics, she's now above Biden in one or two of them. Kind of goes back and forth. And we've got Bernie with the news last week about his heart condition, really showing his age. Biden was supposed to be the traditional Democrat, the Democrat moderate. So maybe Hillary's thinking that if Biden goes down, this opens up the way for her to come in. And she said, don't tempt me. Obviously, I can beat him again. Well, yeah, look, I talked about this a lot back in 2016. I got criticized for it by a lot of people on the Republican side. I pointed out many, many times that she got a lot more votes than he did, right? Almost 3 million more votes.
Yeah,
but
right.
That doesn't mean she beat him, right? She didn't beat him. You know, the rules of the game are that it's whoever gets the most electoral college votes. My friend Dan Flynn, my colleague at the American Spectator, put a piece out overnight where he said, okay, well, the Rams may have gotten more yards than the 49ers, but if the 49ers won by a score of 30-27, then guess who wins,
right?
The
right.
49ers win. It's not who gets more yards, it's who gets more points. So I don't know if she can beat him again. Look, she might have beat him by 3 million votes in the electoral in the popular vote, but he actually squashed her. He defeated her soundly in the electoral college.
Yeah.
The Electoral College wasn't even close. And after having this conversation, Drew, right now Donald Trump, I think, if I've got my news my news cycle right, I think he's looking at going to Minneapolis tonight.
He is. I have, a friend of mine called me earlier today, said he was there. 10,000 people showed up in Minneapolis for this rally, and he's a Trump fan, and he was saying, you know, it gives me some hope for the country. You know, right now the polls are showing a rematch of the two would be 45-45, kind of a tie with 11% being undecided. That's what happened last time. And I'm just curious, your perspective on polls. Have they changed at all? Do you think pollsters are going to be better and more accurate in the 2020 election than they were in 2016? And how much credibility, how much credence can we put into those type of reports we're seeing now?
Well, I haven't seen the latest polls on the other candidates, but Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders all led Trump by over 10 points. And I think even Kamala Harris was a few points ahead. I think even Pete Buttigieg was a few points ahead. So if Hillary's tied 45-45, they better not go to Hillary. they ought to go to somebody else. That's not good at all. And I believe that Trump lost Minnesota in 2016 by about 1.5 percentage points. It was very, very close. So the fact that he's going to Minnesota right now, and Minneapolis, I mean, that's the area of Ilhan Omar, right? It's a very, very left of center area. Yep. And I think the mayor of Minneapolis has really done a disservice to himself. In fact, the things that he said look very amateurish. They look bad. They look very contradictory. It looks like somebody who, kind of a typical liberal, talks about tolerance and diversity and free speech, and then goes and says the things that he says. And all that's going to do is probably fire up the pro-Trump forces in Minnesota even more. And as we all know, these elections come down to turnout, right? That's what really decides who can turn out their side. So the fact that he's going to Minnesota, that means that he probably thinks that Minnesota is in play in 2020 as it was in 2016.
Well, let's do this. I'll take a couple calls. If you want to join us, I have Dr. Ken Gore, maybe another 10 minutes or so. If you want to get in and join the conversation, sound off or share your view, here's your number. It's 888-914-9149. You can give us a ring right now. Pat is listening in Minnesota. Hi, Pat. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi. Very interesting topic. I just turned it on from Minneapolis here. And I believe that what you said was a little bit off, that you talked about 10,000 people coming. Well, he's coming, I guess, doors open at 4, and then people are coming, or he's coming at 7. But they sold here in Minnesota, I guess, 70,000 tickets place, and people have been lining up, I guess, already this morning. He's not coming to talk till 7 tonight.
Wow.
Another thing is that they only lost Minnesota by a point and a half, and I believe the reason was that so many Christians, really good, solid, conservative, young adult Christians that I'm aware of, couldn't see their way of voting for Trump, I think of him like a David. God can use David even though he's an adulterer and a murderer.
Sure.
But they couldn't bring themselves to vote for a person with those kinds of questionable morals, and so they voted third party. I think it was a General Mullen or McMullen, and that difference was the difference at where he lost Minnesota.
I think that's a great point. Doctor, pick up on that, though. But, Pat, I think that's a wonderful point. And you were in the same camp, Doctor, during 2016. I mean, you had a real problem. I know a lot of people. I think Professor Robert George, others, very orthodox, wonderful, bright-thinking people who had trouble consciously voting for Donald Trump because of some of the qualities that really they had problems with. They couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because of what she represented and was going to bring forth to the country. But I wonder if attitudes have changed. I'm sure there's a percentage of people who are disenchanted with him, that he didn't do what they maybe hoped he did. But I think there are others, like Pat brought up, who at the time thought, I can't vote for this man, who now seen what he's done to the Supreme Court and for life and for some of these other issues that might be in his camp. So your thoughts on that? I'm curious about how that may resonate this coming election.
Well, Pat's giving some great data there. And again, this is off the top of my head. I wish I would have looked this up before I jumped on. But I think Hillary and Trump combined accounted for about 90% of the vote in Minnesota. Now, in most states, it was close to 100%. So that means there was another 10% out there that went to somebody else. So if Donald Trump could, you know, 1.5% difference, if he could have gotten, you know, 0.8, knocked her down 0.7. Yeah. That's how close this is. That's why he realizes how important this is. And what Pat said as well, and tying that to Robert George and others.
Right.
Yeah, the fear of a lot of us was that Donald Trump would be like, Bill Clinton, right, when he got into office. Because of his sexual past,
right.
You'd have to watch him around the interns. He wouldn't be able to keep his hands to himself around the ladies. This was a guy who was married several times and adultery. Yep, absolutely, for sure. Right. That's not we're not making a judgmental statement there. No question about that. But at least from that perspective, Donald Trump has behaved himself as president. The trouble that he's gotten himself into has to do with phone calls with the Ukrainian president and so forth, maybe even some things during the campaign.
Yeah.
But morally speaking, with like his sexual relations and his relationship with his wife, he's behaved himself. Mm-hmm. Contrary to Bill Clinton, and this is very relevant to the impeachment discussion we're having right now, Bill Clinton ended up being impeached for lying to a grand jury and obstruction of justice. And all of that stemmed from the Monica stuff, and it wasn't just Monica. There was Kathleen Willey. There were others before that, going back to the 1980s, Paula Jones, Juanita Broderick.
Yeah.
So, you know, Donald Trump, I'll give him credit on this. He, at least morally speaking, with these things that we didn't like, he's behaved himself as president.
You know, Pat also brought up another point. And Pat, I'm glad you called on this. I mean, the venue might hold 10,000, let's say, but 70,000 tickets have been sold. I know somebody else who wanted to go to see him, one in North Carolina, another person, I think, in the Wisconsin area. When he went to visit, same thing. People had lined up. They had camped out there all day to get in. And people who showed up later at 4 or 5 or 7 o'clock appearance, they didn't make it into the venue. And in some respects, that's very telling. And I don't know whether people are coming because he's such a spectacular, you know, he's an interesting candidate. He's going to be, it's kind of a historic thing to say you saw this president. Or whether or not these people are just passionate about, you know, Donald Trump, and that'll be reflective in the electorate, come November. So we'll see what happens. Hey, Pat, thank you.
But by the way, Drew,
yeah, doctor.
How much of a feat it is to win Minnesota. Here's a piece of trivia for you. What was the only state that Ronald Reagan never won? Minnesota. And Reagan won 49 out of 50 states in 1984. People say, well, yeah, but he lost it to Walter Mondale, who was from Minnesota. True. But he also lost Minnesota in 1980. Reagan twice won California, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, but he couldn't win Minnesota. I don't know what it is. I ask people who are from Minnesota. I don't know why Minnesota is such a liberal state, but it is. But Donald Trump has a very good crack at it in 2020,
yep,
and almost had it in 2016. And by the way, if he would have won that in 2016, that would have really that would have widened the electoral college margin even more. That's, so
yeah, you're
not
right.
Like there's 30 electoral college votes there, but yeah, but there's a decent number.
Well,
so that's why he's going there, and the people who follow him, he is like a rock star to them.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. It's interesting though, the swing states, doctor, whether or not he'll be as successful in Michigan or the state of Pennsylvania or some of the others that he absolutely needed to win in order to win the presidency. We'll see how that pans out. Let me move along.
Which is why Hillary Clinton,
if
they went to Hillary Clinton in 2020,
yep,
terrible decision. Joe Biden does well against Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. Hillary Clinton doesn't.
No.
So, you know, for Hillary, again, to be talking smack like that, don't tempt me. Obviously, I can beat him again. And by the way, that clip that you played, she referred to him as an illegitimate president.
Yes, exactly.
That's really striking language. Hillary Clinton is actually usually more careful about saying that kind of thing. So maybe it was the crowd got her all fired up, but to call him illegitimate president?
Yeah, let me run that audio again, doctor, for those who didn't hear it. Here it is. We're going to run. Yeah. This is, again, Hillary Clinton referring to the president. He tempted her to run, and she says, don't tempt me. Here's what she said.
In the 2016 election, Trump basically said, Russia, if you're listening, you will be richly rewarded if you can find Hillary Clinton's emails. And, of course, we know the Russians hacked the DNC.
All right, Jake, hold it right there for a second. Just a point that just struck me as she's saying that. You know, Hillary, if you didn't have anything in your emails to hide, they would not be richly rewarded. But go ahead and play a little bit more.
Well, can I add
Yeah, go
to
ahead.
Too?
No, go ahead.
That phrase that she said, that Trump said that Russia would be richly rewarded, and she said it almost like it was a quote. The first time I heard that, when you played it a few minutes ago, I thought, no, he never said that. That's kind of exaggerating again. Now that I listen to it a second time, she said Trump basically said that Russia will be richly rewarded.
Never said it.
Because, again, she's nuanced enough to and careful enough and precise enough to know that he didn't actually say that. So she's saying he basically said it. There you go.
Here's the rest of her statement.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
I don't know where I don't know how to comment on that. I don't know where she comes up with
that. Her audience loved it. It always seems to be young women in particular, shouting and yelling. He's not an illegitimate president. She probably walked out of the building and even thought to herself, okay, I shouldn't have said one.
Now let's go to the phones, Doctor. We only have a few more moments. I want to get Penny in because I think she has a great point for you. Penny's listening in Chicago. Hi, Penny.
Hello, Drew.
Hi.
Yes, I just want to comment. It's just such a shame the liberal media has held this country hostage with lies, just like this Adam Schiff getting up there and reading the transcript and lying every word of it. And this is what we're hearing day in and day out on the liberal media, and people are beginning to believe that there is a reason to impeach this president. Just because of the dialogue that Schiff gave and the rest of them. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's very fearful of what's happening in this country. President Trump has been fighting against abortion, and wants us to have religious freedom. We're losing all that with these crazy liberals, the new Green Deal that they want, and they absolutely love abortion. Let's take away our cars. Let's take away our cows. I mean, how can you vote for people like this? Our country is in a real crisis. And now in the schools, they're forcing teachers to teach little children that they have a choice over whether they decide they want to be a male or a female.
That's right. And that's why our votes matter. Let me hold you on that point, Penny, just so I can let Dr. Kengor respond. I have a moment or two left.
Well, Penny, they got a lot more options than that. Male, female, plus 69 others.
Yeah, I know.
Facebook says there are now 71 different gender options. And in fact, in Britain, in one BBC video that was done, they say there's over 100 gender options. But one of the clips you played, Drew, that was from Donald Trump, and he said quite correctly, he said they came out with a whistleblower allegation a day before they saw the phone transcript. He's right about that. He said they should have waited a day, and they should have. In fact, you and I did your show at the time. We were talking about it, and I think it was a CNN or I think a New York Times reporter even said to Nancy Pelosi at that 5 o'clock press conference, he said to her, you know, the president said today that they're going to be releasing the transcript of the phone conversation with the Ukrainian President Zelensky tomorrow. Do you think maybe this is a little premature? Should you see that first? And her answer was, no, it's not premature. Well, it was. And today Zelensky held a 7-hour press conference in the Ukraine. It's probably still going on, where he said, among other things, that he was not bribed or pressured by the president of the United States. And, that's going to matter in this, or at least it should matter.
Yeah. Let me do this too, Doctor, because the impeachment process is moving forward. Joe Biden's been very expressive about his desire. You think it's going to hurt Biden. Here's what Biden is saying. Listen to this.
To preserve our Constitution, our democracy, our basic integrity, he should be impeached. We all laughed when he said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and get away with it. It's no joke. He's shooting holes in the Constitution, and we cannot let him get away with it.
The president responded during Biden's speech, tweeting, Joe's failing campaign gave him no other choice.
You know, he didn't say that until right now, and he sees what's happening to him. I guess he's no longer the front runner.
Yeah, see, Doctor, if I was Joe Biden, I'd be a little worried about having that spotlight shown on me and drag this through the media. But why do you think Biden is saying that? Does he think he's implacable to the negative results of this?
Well, it's already hurting him. He's already down now in the polls, and in fact, the Donald Trump quote about his it's that his supporters would support him even if he shot somebody, and in fact that's a testimony to just the fact that how supportive his supporters are. I mean, his supporters really are rabid. And you know, you see that in the turnouts around the country. They're very, very dedicated to him. But Joe Biden, I don't think Biden has that kind of support. The Democrats went to him because they thought, here's somebody who's more middle of the road that could beat Donald Trump in swing states like Pennsylvania. And if they end up taking out their guy who could beat Trump in swing states through an impeachment proceeding, I don't see Elizabeth Warren beating Trump in my home state.
I don't understand the strategy. I don't. I think it's going to come back to hurt him. Doctor, thank you. Check out Dr. Kenger's latest book, The Divine Plan. I'll be back.
Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, director of St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. And do you know what was Pope St. John Paul II's favorite prayer? Did you say the rosary? Well, if you did, you're right. And this month of October is dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. It was when he observed Pope St. John Paul praying the rosary that Pope Francis made the commitment to pray 15 decades of the rosary every day. Here's what Pope Francis once said. If I remember well, it was 1985. One evening I went to recite the Holy Rosary that was being led by the Holy Father. He was in front of everyone, on his knees. The group was numerous. I saw the Holy Father from the back, and little by little, I got lost in prayer. I was not alone. I was praying in the middle of the people of God, to which I and all those there belonged, led by our pastor. In the middle of the prayer, I became distracted, looking at the figure of the Pope, his piety, his devotion was a witness. And time drifted away, and I began to imagine the young priest, the seminarian, the poet, the worker, the child from Vadovice, in that same position in which he knelt at that moment, reciting Ave Maria after Ave Maria. His witness struck me. I felt this man, chosen to lead the church, was following a path up to his mother in the sky, a path set out on from his childhood. From that time on, I recite the 15 mysteries of the Rosary every day.
Listen to more of Father James Kubicki's daily reflections by downloading the free Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Shoe fanatics are going nuts for a new holy sneaker. What?
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, welcome back. You will not believe the story I'm about to share with you. All right? You got to hear this. Feel free to sound off. You can join me. If you could walk on water, would you do it? You're saying, yeah, I certainly would, right? Well, Nike's going to make it possible. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I don't know if you heard about the story. There was a friend of mine, actually. And Amy, thanks for sending this over to me. She sent me a report from the Daily Beast. And I know this is going around on Instagram. It's been floating around on the internet about a series of new kicks, if you will, new set of sneakers or shoes. That they're trying to profit off of and putting kind of a spiritual bent on it. Look, there's all kinds of weird collaborations taking place in the corporate world, right? If you take a look at Adidas, they got together with Arizona Iced Tea and they put a special edition shoe advertising the tea company, okay? That's a strange alliance, but it caught the attention of a guy named Dan Greenberg. And he works at a company called MSCHF in the Bronx. And they do product design. And his colleagues wondered, they said, what would be a really strange collaboration? They said, who's the most influential person in history? That's Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the most influential person. So Greenberg, who's Jewish, thought, well, the only thing he knew about Jesus was that he walked on water. It's about the extent of his knowledge of who Jesus was or what he did and knew that story. So they bought a couple dozen of these Nike Air Max 97 shoes off the shelf. Then they injected the soles with water from the Jordan River. They dyed that water blue, and supposedly, now I say supposedly because I don't know whether they had, I don't think any Catholic priest would do this. I don't know what kind of priest they use, but they supposedly had a priest bless this water from the Jordan. And now it's holy water. And there is a single drop of blood in them that represent Christ's blood. And the insoles are, you know, are wool, scented with frankincense. There's a Benedictine cross thread throughout the laces. The soles are red as, you know, as a reference to the shoes worn by the popes. Matthew 14:25, they put a scripture verse. They emboss that on the sides. That's the verse where Jesus walked on the water, right? And on the backs of them, one of the shoes company's initials, while the other has the initials INRI. You know what that is? You know what INRI is? Of course, those are the initials that were on the sign that hung above Christ's head, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. And guess how much they're selling for? $40, $50, $100, $200, $800, $1,000, $2,000? How do you like $3,000 a pair? $3,000 a pair, and they sold them out as soon as they possibly could. I mean, they instantly flew off the shelves. So here to talk about it with me, and I'd love to get your take on it as well, and I just want some clarity on this, is Father Richard Simon, pastor of St. Lambert's Parish in Skokie, Illinois. You just heard him about 30-some minutes ago. If you were tuned in to Father Simon Says, he's heard every afternoon here, 2 Eastern, and you can do the math across the country. Great to have you back, Father. Good afternoon.
Well, it's good to be back. This is a little irritating, though.
It's crazy. Clever marketing or sacrilegious, or how do you see this?
Oh, yeah, it's sacrilegious. I would say it's simony. And not just because of the fact that it's $3,000 for a pair of cheap shoes, but I think that people really need to look at where Nike makes its shoes. You know, look up, there's an article on Wikipedia. I'm going to footnote all this, lest we get in trouble. Look up Nike sweatshops, N-I-K-E sweatshops. Mm. In the past, there have been allegations that Nike uses essentially slave labor. Nike has countered this and responded to it, but it does seem that there are occasions in which Nike is, you know, they farm out the making of the shoes, as I understand, and I think before one buys any Nike product, one should investigate, where those are made, how they're made, and whether or not they're being responsibly made. However, how much do you think that the person who makes the shoes gets out of those $3,000?
I have no idea.
Do they get $1, $2?
How much?
It's the most cynical thing I've ever heard of. I don't know how much.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Pennies.
Yeah. I mean, they're not getting all $3,000, certainly.
No.
And I, to me, this is the most cynical, evil, or not the most evil thing, but a very good representation of the incredible materialism and evil that has gripped the world and that is passed off as religion. I mean...
Yeah.
This is the opposite of religion. To wear those shoes should come with a curse. Oy.
Wow. So let's talk about that. All the shoes that were made are already sold out. If something like that were to happen again, this guy says, hey, this is great. We'll do another special edition. Should any Catholic buy them? Should they stay away from them? Should they destroy them? I mean, well, you know, is
any
it sinful
Christian,
to wear those?
Any human being. Just let us forget the fact that they are selling things that are sacred to a group of people, us.
Yeah.
That... to realize $3,000 for a pair of shoes in which the maker of the shoe gets almost nothing, relatively. This is even if they're being made by adults, free will adults,
right,
child labor, it's a slavery.
All right, my guest is Father Simon. Let me open the phones. We only have Father for a few minutes. I have a full show today. If you want to get in and sound off or ask your question, here's the number for you. 888-914-9149. Before we go to the phones, I do want to ask you about simony, because this is a term that I don't know if everyone is familiar with, and that it pertains to selling blessed or those religious blessed items, right? And that's the church says you can't do that. What is simony? Maybe you can define it, and you know, what are some examples of simony so people don't fall into the problem of perhaps doing that?
Well, simony is named for Simon Magus, the Simon the magician. It goes back to the Acts of the Apostles, where there was a fellow named Simon. He was a magician, and he saw the clear and obvious bestowing of the Holy Spirit by the apostles, and he offered to pay them for this power. Peter said, God forgive you. This is a terrible curse you're bringing on yourself. And so simony is a general name for the selling of sacred things or of church offices.
Right.
You know, you can buy a reliquary, but you can't buy a relic.
Well, I was in Lourdes, France recently. There's a guy who had a store. He was selling these relics. And I'm thinking, well, how did you get them? I asked him. Oh, I was doing some work. I'm a painter in some churches. And I'm thinking, he probably bought them online and is marking them up. I mean, it's terrible. David's listening in Kentucky. We'll take a few calls. 888-914-9149. You can get in. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, what I read was this is not Nike. Whoever's doing this bought the shoes at market price. So they did it all aftermarket. Nike cannot be held responsible.
All right, that's a great point in terms of, you know, who's behind it, but it doesn't diminish really, you know, what's happening here. Although, let me take the other side of the coin for a minute here, Father. What about those who say, okay, Nike's not manufacturing these in a plant. They were only a limited edition made by this guy who wanted to, I don't know, be creative and find a way to make some money. He did that online. What about those who say, hey, doesn't this at the same time point to the attractive power of Catholic symbolism? Maybe it's a great way to evangelize. Maybe people start talking about those sneakers. You have an opportunity to say, hey, this is a scripture quote about what Christ did. And they are a vehicle, an instrument for you now to maybe introduce somebody to Jesus Christ.
I think that's bad nonsense, because the kind of people who would spend $3,000 for a shoe, I doubt that they would be very good examples of the Christian life. I mean, the great selling point of evangelization is when we see the gospel in the life of a person, that my words match who I am. So I got a buddy who's run a soup kitchen for 40 years. He does not wear expensive designer shoes, and people meet him and come to Christ because they see Christ in him.
Yeah.
If this guy were to buy a $3,000 pair of shoes and say, look at these cool shoes, let me talk to you about Jesus, I would say, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. What's it say about the church? I mean, as an institution, has the Catholic Church lost influence in the world, or does it still have it? And that's why this guy is doing this. What do you think?
The Catholic Church has lost, you know, it's lost vast amounts, and I blame myself. The clergy, we the clergy, have not lived lives worthy of our calling frequently. But I look at, a couple of years ago, that ridiculous New York gala, which parodied sacred vestments, in which the clergy participated.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they thought that, well, it's a venue to evangelize, to be part of the society, and we have moral suasion in the society. Nonsense. It brought no one closer to Christ and alienated a few people from Christ. Yeah. I don't want to sound like a Puritan, but I think we are... You know, the parable of you're the salt of the earth. If the salt becomes insipid, how with what will you salt it? That apparently, this is what I heard, that in a typical primitive home, you had a salt box. Salt was a very, very valuable commodity. And there were mud floors, and sometimes mud and water would leach up into the salt box. And so the crust of salt at the bottom was so infected with the dirt floor that it was good for nothing but to be thrown out. You know, we're in the world, we're not of the world. If we allow the world, the mud of the world, to seep into the salt of the gospel, we make it ineffective. And when we go to these galas in which people are essentially mocking the sacramentals of the church, and when we manufacture shoes that rob the poor in their very manufacture, what? I mean, This just makes me crazy, this kind of thing. You see it all over.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Hey, Father, thank you. Thanks for being with me today. I love the example of the salt, too. And thanks for what you do on the air every day before us. And I hope people will tune in and check out Father Know-It-All, Father Simon Says. And, of course, I know you're doing a priest retreat, too, so I'll ask people to pray. Pray for you as well.
Do.
You're doing
please
a lot. I was surprised. I spoke to a priest who was attending your retreat the other day, and I'm like, is Father doing a show live? He's giving retreats, you know, hours of preaching a day. He's on the air. You're something else.
I talk a lot. Well, have fun. You know, it's amazing. One can do the show remotely. It's a wonderful world we live in. But, you know, just this whole thing. Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to yell at people and tell them repent. So, well, have a wonderful time repenting. I'm having a wonderful time repenting. So, all right, Drew. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, stay in line. I'll talk to you during the break. And when we return, I'll give you a solution to the problem that we're seeing here. My next guest has started a campaign that I think is not only powerful, but can change the world. I'll fill you in.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Relevant Radio accepts donations of unwanted vehicles. The process is easy, free, and it helps keep Relevant Radio rolling. More information at 888-906-9069 or RelevantRadio.com.
Make the faith your own.
The most important thing.
The Drew Mariani Show.
I have seen two miracles performed.
Here for you.
So it does work.
On Relevant Radio.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, about 11 minutes now before the top of the hour. Welcome back. It's great to be here with you today. It really is. I mean, I try to give you a look at life. You're not going to get anywhere else, whether we are talking politics or bringing you up to speed on some of the cultural events that are unfolding in your world, such as, sneakers that are injected with water, supposedly blessed by a priest. I don't believe a Catholic priest would do that. You know, a drop of blood and all this other religious symbolism, and it's selling for $3,000. I love Father Simon. You know, he's right. Borders on simony, if not simony altogether. And it's a symptom of the culture and the world that we're in. How do we change that? You know, how do we make amends for the offenses against God? How do we transform the world so that we have a proper focus on what the church is all about? You know, how do we do that? Very simple. Christ told us in Scripture, prayer and fasting. And I am such a believer in this. You know, I really believe that prayer and fasting, as the Lord says, as Our Lady has said in some of her apparitions, through prayer and fasting, you can find ways out of situations that have no way out. I believe by prayer and fasting, you can mend a wounded heart. You can defeat the division, the evil that is in your life and in the world. My next guest knows, intimately the power of prayer and fasting. They've got a national week of prayer and fasting coming up. I'm going to get you up to speed on that. But she does this every year because they know you can stop wars. Not just in our world, but in your family. You know, one of my favorite messages, other than the Eucharist, the most powerful weapon you can use against Satan is the power of prayer and fasting. When was the last time you fasted? I mean, seriously fasted. I know there are a lot of people on these intermittent fasting diets and things along those lines. Is that the same thing? Is that really a sacrifice for you? You know, you've got a loved one away from the faith. Try prayer and fasting. Most effective way of converting souls and bringing peace in the hearts, really, of all mankind. And I want you to grab a pen and paper. I want you to jot down this web address, okay? It's IWOPF.org. IWOPF.org. And that'll get you connected to a great effort that is now underway. Coming up on November 2nd is the 27th. It's been going on for more than a quarter of a century. The 27th Annual International Week of Prayer and Fasting. And it's not on the church calendar. It's not, it's an unofficial call by some laity to change the world, to call you, to call me to a week of prayer and fasting for peace, for the conversion of all people, for all nations, to build a culture of life, to defend the sanctity of marriage in our country that's under attack, to help bolster family life, It's something we need today. You know, and if you're frustrated by what's happening in the world, I just have to say, what are you doing to change it? Have you spent time in prayer? Have you spent time amplifying that prayer through fasting? And you know, Monsignor Charles Pope, right, one of the great contributors on this radio program over the years, the opening event for the Mass is going to be at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. So if you can get down there, they got a great lineup of speakers that are going to be in there. Everyone from Monsignor Pope to Abby Johnson, Father Ubald, who was on my program earlier in the week, the incredible healing priest. If you've heard him, you're saying, I'd love to be able to attend one of his healing services. You may want to take a trip to D.C. Father Chris Alar, another great Marian who often visits the show, will be there. So I'm joined right now by the foundress of this week of prayer and fasting. It's great to have with me Maureen Flynn. And Maureen, always a delight to talk to you. Good afternoon.
Yes, and thank you, actually. You did a great job explaining who the speakers are coming in. But I also want to mention two other special people.
Sure.
Who, you know, have been with us from the beginning, and that, of course, is my husband, who's going to be the MC this year. He's supported it all these years, and of course, he's been very patient. And John Downs, who died, he passed to his eternal reward in 2004, and he was a quadriplegic, very holy man, and he, you know, was very involved at the very beginning, as we called it, the National Week of Prayer and Fasting, and that started October 7th, 1990. In front of the U.S. Capitol, and that's when this all began. So, yes, 27 years later, who would believe that we would be in this great intensive battle?
Yeah.
On the one hand, we see all the great evils in the world, and, you know, we see the destruction, well, trying to destroy marriage and the family, and that was all foretold. Sister Lucy said the last battle would be against marriage and the family, and here we are, right? And we see it. On the other hand, we see the great strides, so many things in a good way are occurring throughout the battle. So that's what gives me the hope when I see like the Abby Johnsons of the world, former Planned Parenthood directors, who have this huge conversion, and she named her eighth child Fulton after Fulton Sheen. I mean, how awesome is that? he always prayed for the unborn children.
Yep.
So I just see the hand of the Lord in this, but of course, you know, it isn't over yet, right? So we're still in the battle.
Yep.
Our Lady and our Lord still need all the warriors out there, but
Maureen,
I believe there's hope.
You've got a great lineup. I love all those guests. They've been frequent contributors to the program. Father Ubald, I think, is an anointed man. And Father Alar, a great evangelist when it comes to mercy. Abby Johnson, you know, really now a celebrity. Your theme this year is mercy, forgiveness, and healing. And I think that that's so perfect. But why are you concentrating on those particular areas?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of discussions with people, and especially when I go home at night, Ted and I talk a lot about what's happening in the church and in the world, and what we've been talking about, so many of the people that we know, is the fact that it seems like there is a great cleansing happening in the world, a purification going on in our church, going on in our government, going on in our families, and as long as evil can be in the dark, it can do its damage.
Yeah.
But once the spotlight from heaven comes upon the evil and the evil is exposed, that's when we always say the pus comes to the forefront, the infection can begin to heal. And I believe that's what God's allowing right now. It's through the prayers of so many people that we're seeing initially what seems horrible, of course, this evil that we all know about. It's in our papers every day, it's on our airwaves, it's everywhere. On the other hand, look at what's happening. Evil is being exposed. Once evil is exposed, it cannot do the work.
Yep.
You know, Satan and his armies, you know, cannot do what they want to do once things are being exposed. And I personally believe the rosary throughout the country that Catholics are praying is having an impact.
Oh, no doubt about it. Hey, let me ask you personally, though. You and I have been talking for decades now about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see the power of prayer, the fruit of the prayer. I pray the chaplet every day.
Yes.
And we'll be doing so in a few minutes. But what fruit have you seen from this campaign? I'm sure you're under a lot of spiritual attack because these works are from God and Satan does not like what you're doing. What kind of fruit have you seen?
Well, let me say, I'll tell you this. The past several years, anybody who works with us, we're all into what we call the spiritual warfare, that we have special prayers that many of the volunteers are saying in the morning, including myself. I'm not sure if you're aware of Father Chad Ripperger.
Oh,
he has great prayers of spiritual warfare.
Absolutely.
So we encourage everybody, you know, put your armor on in the morning. Use your blessed holy water. Pray, you know, pray the rosary every day. Pray several mysteries if you can. Attend daily mass. We encourage all the people working on this. We can't work on this without being engaged and putting on the weapons ourselves and utilizing the weapons. But yes, I see fruits. I see these young people coming forward. There's a bunch of young people that want to come to hear Abby Johnson. I hear out there amongst the people we speak with, people who are really understanding the power of the rosary. I talk with priests who say, oh my gosh, we need this. We need this. Right. So I'm seeing a big difference compared to 15 years ago.
Let me do this difference. Morning. We have about a minute or two left for you. I know there are people who listen all across the nation, really even around the world here via our app. Is there a way to participate without having to be physically present there?
Yes.
And how can people get more info? What's the best place for info?
Two things. One, we're live streaming the event. So it'll be on our website, live streaming it at IWOPF.org. So the whole day, 8:30 to 4:30. And we have everything on the website, all the ideas of what they can do, ideas for participation. We have flyers. We give ideas like, yes, you can pray the rosary daily, all four mysteries. Yes, attend holy hours during the week, prayer vigils. Recite the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Consecrate yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Sacred Heart of Jesus. Attend Holy Mass. We give all these ideas. There's tons of information, lots of stuff about the scriptures, the power of fasting. And we tell people, read Judges chapter 7 and what happened with Gideon's army and how God often uses a remnant because that shows his great and glorious power.
An easy way to remember the website here, too, is International Week of Prayer and Fasting. International Week of Prayer and Fasting. Maureen, we'll have to touch base again. When's it kick off again?
Yes.
That's coming right
up. November 2nd, Feast of All Souls. And anyone who comes that day, you'll receive a special indulgence if they go to confession.
Yeah, we'll talk again. I'll be right back.